Because hockey hasn't completely taken over your life yet. Subscribe to podcasts of Hockey Central at Noon through iTunes or your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand. We packed you a lunch that packs a punch. This is Hockey Central at Noon on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Here we are, Hockey Central at Noon. The boys were back in town yesterday, day two. Nick getting his knapsack all together, lunches and all that. Got Doug's out. Gord Stellick in for Darren Millard. Nick Kyprios, Doug McLean.
No, not yet.
Just water.
Maybe. Brought the water.
Later on in the season, I'll start bringing some,
we used to have
some
lunch,
good snacks.
I remember lunch used to come
vis-a-vis. On Fridays.
Yeah, but yeah. Then I stopped working Fridays.
Pizza.
Yeah.
They used to bring pizza, didn't they, on Fridays?
Now, I work Fridays now. We just, you know, mourn the fact you're not here. So we have no appetite, which is rare for me right now. We, of course, have an appetite for hockey. Last night, there were 14 games around the National Hockey League. Later on, Mike Matheson, 2 goals last night for the Florida Panthers. A big win for them. We'll talk about the with Jim Nill on yesterday. His Dallas Stars, true to form, come out big, defeat the Toronto Maple Leafs. But Kelly Chase will join us in a few minutes' time. But first, let's hear the news of this morning. Doug Armstrong addressed the media about a few minutes ago, and here's a little bit from the news. Ken Hitchcock out as head coach of the St. Louis Blues. Mike Yeo, the associate head coach in waiting. Well, it's a few months quicker that he's got the head job. Here's Doug Armstrong.
Ken and I talked a lot during the Christmas break, and I just felt that, you know, you want to extend every last breath and making it work, and we just haven't played well enough. I'm not sure if I'm going to make a lot of sense right now, but we don't lose with pride. Like, ultimately, Ken is he's paying the price for all our failures, starting with mine. I'm the manager. I'm the quote-unquote president of hockey operations. It's my team.
Doug Armstrong, and just about an hour ago, emotional, announcing the change in coaching change.
Well, look, it's emotional because they go back a long way. They go back to the Dallas Stars days and when Ken first started coaching there, and Doug was an assistant to the assistant. And, you know, from when he was at Kalamazoo, Hitch, and to the Dallas days and on. And I remember Doug Armstrong phoning me when I was interviewing Ken Hitchcock in Columbus and recommending him after he had fired him in Dallas, you know. So they go way back. So it's an emotional, tough time. When you fire coaches, it's not a pleasant situation, especially I've had to fire friends, and it's an awful thing. Whether it's Dave King, Gerard Gallant, two guys I had to fire, I hated every minute of it.
And it's that emotional tie is the only reason why Ken Hitchcock came back this season, when everybody inside and outside that organization said at the end of last season, it's time for Ken Hitchcock to go. Players, people within the organization, people outside the organization. But to Doug's point about that emotional tie, and to Doug's point that he wanted every last breath in trying to make it work, call it stubborn, call it whatever you want, but Doug Armstrong was a man on an island, and he held the title to do it, to bring him back one more year to give it a try. It really was a recipe for disaster. I'm sorry, but you saw this a long time ago, that this is just the way it runs with Ken Hitchcock, regarded as one of the winningest coaches in our history. Right. I think he was just one behind Al Arbor.
A little bit more, but chasing down Al Arbor. Yeah.
Chasing down Al Arbor. But the same recipe, wherever he ends up, is the players get tired of his voice. And it was abundantly clear to Doug Armstrong that was the case at the end of last season.
Or the year before.
Yeah. A lot more last season, at the end of last season. And a lot of players just said, it's time. And he said, nope, one more chance.
But here's where, and I agree, Nick, but here's where it goes back to. We recall a few years ago, Ken saying, I only want one-year contracts, right? I only want a one-year contract because I don't know how much longer I want to coach. I'm sorry, I didn't buy it then, and I'm not buying it now. He was offered one-year contracts for a reason.
Well,
you're offered one-year contracts because, you know, you're not sure where it's going to go here. And Ken, hey, to his credit, he took it. And he worked, and he tried, and chasing down Al Arbor is no easy accomplishment.
And he is a smart hockey man. Tactically,
but,
he could be, there's an argument that he's as good as anybody. But when you're behind the bench and you're trying to get guys to buy into what you're selling, that has always been his biggest challenge, okay? Don't look any further than you had two of the better hockey young minds with bright futures in Bradshaw
and Kirk Muller.
And they both bailed. They both bailed on a team in the Western Conference that's supposed to compete for the Stanley Cup. And they said, that's enough.
Because they were only offered one-year deals, right?
No.
That was
poison. No.
I thought that was part of it.
No, I think it just ran its course with Ken. And you know what? Maybe that is part of it.
Yeah, maybe.
But I think it's much deeper to the point where, again, you kind of get tired of that voice. And he is hard on the guys. There's no question that Ken Hitchcock is hard on his players. And I'm sure at times it's hard on the coaching staff. And people get exhausted because of it.
And that doesn't take away the fact that he won a hell of a lot of games.
Yeah, and let's bring in another voice when we talk about it. It's Nick Kyrgios, Doug McLean, and Gord Stellett. Kelly Chase, of course, longtime analyst with the St. Louis Blues, joining us Hockey Central at noon. Kelly, thanks very much. I guess you got a chance to hear a little bit from Nick and Doug that a recipe for disaster may be somewhat to be expected. I mean, what's your read on today and the events that led up to today?
Well, you know, there's a couple of things I think you have to take into consideration. One is the Blues searching for an identity this year. I think that certainly, you know, has been the case. I think when you change out Backes, Brouwer, and Steve Ott, who was a huge voice of reason in the room and both with the coach and as an intermediary and also I think a guy that holds guys accountable. Those three guys being removed and replacing them with young guys, they thought Ratty would have the opportunity and get a better opportunity. They had Magnus Pjärvi, and neither one of them are here at this point. And then they, you know, gave Yashkin more of an opportunity. And when those things weren't working, we pick up Yakupov on waivers. And I don't think that those guys were exactly, if you could take the three and replace them. Now, I in the long-term health of this franchise, couldn't give David Backes what he got. If I was Doug Armstrong, but I think, you know, they would have liked to have got Brouwer signed, and that would give this team a little bit of depth. But if you look at how Hitch coaches and what his MO is with his players, those were the type of players that he had, and they were replaced by guys that he's not had a great track record with. And I think there's some validity to that. And I also believe that, you know, how it goes with any coach. I think when things don't go well, and Nick, you know, this is a player, you start searching for answers, and eventually it evolves to the coach. You can start pointing the fingers at it. I think the onus is now back on the guys that they had to pay and for the reasons they couldn't afford those other guys.
So, Kelly, think about, we go back to last year, and Muller and Shaw leave for whatever reason, whether it's because they're only offered one-year deal or it's run its course and they were ready to move on. But But Ken comes back on a one-year deal, and they bring in his successor. We don't see this happen very often in the NHL, where your successor is on the bench with you. And I know Hitch, like you know Hitch, and how proud a guy he is. For Hitch to have his successor on the bench with him, I'm not sure it was the right move then, and I said it, and I'm not sure it's the right move now, and did that have any bearing? I mean, I know Mike Yeo is a hell of a guy and he's a good hockey guy, but that didn't seem to jive with me at the time. What about you?
Well, you know, it seems odd. I can't argue with you on that. But I don't think that they'd be in a different place had Mike Yeo been there or not been there. You know, like I don't think the player said, oh, let's, you know, stop playing, and or let's not, you know, let's have some you know, controversy around the team because mm-hmm. Michael take over. I think, you know, I think they'd be in the exact same spot if, you know, if he was here or not here, and they'd be talking about possibly a guy like Craig Berube's doing a hell of a job in the Myers for the Blues. So whether Mike was here or not, I don't think it affected the team at all. He was very professional. He was very supportive of Hitch. He and as he'll tell you, he'd be the first to tell you, he learned a lot. I think all of us did. You've been around Hitch. You know what a tactical guy he was, and from a structure standpoint, his understanding. I mean, look, coaching's a lifestyle. It's Hitch's life. It really is. I mean, he takes it so personal. But I think you get to a point as a player, Doug, you're an emotional guy. You think for a second guys weren't tired of listening to you for a while?
Never.
I mean, yeah, well, I got news for you. They you get that way as a player. You know, you had a great run. You go to the finals. You think you're making headway. And then the voice deafens. And then no matter how much passion you have for it, for whatever reason, it loses its luster. And I don't care. Human beings, if there's excuses, I think sometimes they take them. And that's just exactly what's happened here.
Kelly, just want to pick up one point. Can you elaborate, Bradshaw and Kirk Muller, because you seem to intimate that there might have been other reasons Kirk Muller left. I mean, why, as far as you know it, two quality assistant coaches and possible head coaches left?
Well, I think Kirky's main reason was is that he felt like he was the guy that wanted to succeed Kent, and I don't think that opportunity was given to him. So, I mean, clearly that was the reason why he took, you know, and plus, you know, let's face it, he's back home where he belongs, and he's doing a great job there, and Montreal's glad to have him. I know I've talked to Burge. He's glad to have him. The players enjoy him. He's a great calming factor around the team, and I think that's something that's always needed, and I think that you'll probably see Stevie Thomas have that opportunity here now. And then, you know, in Bradshaw's case, I think he just got – he knew it was time for a change. He's been here 10 years, and felt, you know, he did an unbelievable job, but I think he needed, he said, I got to hit the reset button and refresh myself. I need to, you know, have some different outlooks and have some different opinions and maybe make myself better, because I think Bradshaw is a head coach in the NHL. And so for him, I think he felt like I need more of a channel. I need to show more people. And I think, listen, he's doing exactly what he set out to do, go somewhere else and prove that he makes a difference. And I think you're seeing that.
Yep.
Kelly, just listening to you a few minutes ago talk about a different voice, or maybe even getting tired of hearing it, whether or not we're talking about Hitchcock or Tortorella or some of these really hardline type of coaches, it seems if they go away for a little while and come back, the common denominator is that they've changed. They've learned a lot. They're more patient. I mean, did you see any of that the last few seasons out of Ken Hitchcock, or was that the Ken Hitchcock that we've known and and watched over the course of his career and Doug's loved?
Hey, listen, you know Mike Keenan. You played for him. We both did. Do you honestly believe he's going to change?
No.
I mean, come on. It's not how it happens, and that's what made Hitch so successful is his attention to detail and the defensive side of it. Can you imagine the points? Listen, I love Hitch. I learned a lot from him. I left him a note. We conversed back and forth about it. I said thank you, because I learned a lot about the game from Ken Hitchcock from a structural standpoint and how he thinks, and he makes people better around him, and I think you don't appreciate what he does from a defensive side of it as a player understanding the game until he leaves because of the way he, you know, his demeanor. But again, you know, I think that once in an era where, you know, we give out ribbons for third place and medals, I think you have to change, because kids just aren't, they don't even understand. They look at you like you got three heads when you're emotional night in and day in and day out. And I think they, you know, so, you know, I'm not saying that it's right or wrong, and I'm not as the old days were way better sort of a guy, but you had a tough, look, in my opinion, Mike had trouble coaching Keenan when they took away two-way contracts, because there was a threat for him to send you down. And after that, it was kind of like, well, you know, but he utilized that. He was smart enough to utilize that. I mean, there's different things that you have to utilize as a coach in the way that you think, to give yourself a competitive edge. And I think Hitch did that, and his was to be on guys constantly. And imagine Mike Modano didn't have Bob Gainey and And Ken Hitchcock as their coach, how many points he'd have? It'd be crazy. But he adhered to what they wanted to do from the structural standpoint and a defensive side of the puck. And again, you know, he was a great player that won a cup. Would he change any of it for now? I doubt it. I don't think if you talk to Mike Modano, he'd say, geez, you know, Hitch made me into this defensive, more defensive player, but I won a cup. Would I trade it? He wouldn't do that.
So, Kelly, you alluded to the fact of the personnel changes with the team and the types of guys that came in. And you think, okay, in Hitch's tenure with the Blues, they won more games than any other team in the NHL during that period in the regular season. Right. What's happened? I get your personnel things. We know there's been a goaltending issue. But is this team now with Mike Yeo coming in, are they ready to take a step and be a much better team? Or do you think there's real flaws with the personnel? Starting with goaltending.
Well, the goaltending, I mean, listen, if our goaltending, who, you know, I think he had 6 shutouts, the second in the league last year, and Jake.
Right.
So I don't think he forgot over the summer. I think he needs to get his confidence back, and we'll see how that affects and changes. And hopefully he gets back to there. But the team has to play better around him. It comes down to character. You have to be accountable now for the character. On the, you know, the guys that have got opportunities, these guys that have been, you know, anointed some of these spots have now got to take control of their own game. I mean, it's on their lap now. If Hitch was the issue and they need to hear a different voice, and they're going to get that now in Mike Yeo. So I think Mike's going to hold guys more accountable. If you're going to have a fight with, if you're Ken Hitchcock and you know that, you know, that this is the last year, are you really going to have a fight with Vladdy Tarasenko and Alex Steen and Kevin Shattenkirk and Stastny? No, you're going to try and figure out a way to get them to play without being the same way he's always been, because you know that, hey, it's not doing me any good, or it hasn't. So, you know, I think that's what's changed. I think Mike Yeo is going to hold guys' feet to the fire now and say, listen, this isn't acceptable to me. You know, we're not going to have banter on the bench. We're not going to come and dip our chins and pout or slam the door. And there's that was creeping into the game with the Blues, and I think that they needed a straightening around, and they're getting it now, and now the accountability is back on the players. And so that's where I feel that the change will be, and we'll see what the character and makeup of the group is. Because as I said, you know, you couldn't sign guys because you had to sign Schwartz. You had to give Petrangelo his contract, Tarasenko the contract, Steen got a new contract. Well, because of those new contracts, you know, you couldn't get those other guys signed. So it's the responsibility of those players to change a little bit of the, you know, the character in the locker room, and we'll see if the different voices is going to make a difference.
Kelly, appreciate it. Busy morning. Thanks for making time.
Thanks, Kelly.
All right, guys.
Thanks. Kelly Chase, analyst for the St. Louis Blues.
Kelly's 100% right. Once you get your coach fired, the attention goes off of that and right on your own shoulders. So it was interesting to hear him use the names Steen, Stastny, Tarasenko, and I don't know, he might
Petrangelo.
Have mentioned Petrangelo. Yeah. Like, there's no question that those are the guys that bailed on Ken Hitchcock, right? Those are the ones that just... Well, shut him down and said, that's it. I no longer believe in your message. And when you lose your core guys like that, you stand no chance. That's why...
Well, define bail
Armstrong,
as a player.
I stopped believing what you're selling.
Okay, right? But you still can play at a certain level, correct?
Oh, listen, you're a pro. You're out there.
You've tuned out the coach and it's a negative.
You're trying your best. You're trying to help the team win.
You're not doing it on
purpose.
I'm
not saying that you're sabotaging the team. You're just not buying what your coach is selling. And when have that in the room, then it's a disaster in
Nick,
the making.
What you're saying is that you get worn out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You get worn out.
You lost me.
So the next part.
We've lived it, Mac.
We've lived it.
We joke around about Hitch, and I don't dislike him. I worked with him, and he was good. You know, we had a couple of differences, but we work fine together. We talked a lot, but he wears you out as a player.
Okay, but the other part
lots of coaches do that.
So Doug, you might have been a part of it, both as a general manager and coach. How many years ago was it the coaches successfully, GMs and owners bought that you couldn't be a lame duck coach, right? And that was your one-year security anyway. Yes. So no such thing existed anymore as a lame duck coach. Mike Babcock was a unique scenario. And that's why the moment this was announced, and Kippy, you're the player, I said, why would you go back 25 years? This is exactly...
But this was
like,
not...
So how much more these guys, knowing he's done, factor in?
But
you
just a minute now. That wasn't just this year that he was on a one-year deal. It also was the previous year. Was it not the case?
But this was so public.
2 years ago?
Final year, you know, the whole deal.
Successor.
The players kind of know.
We had Ken Hitchcock as a guest, I think, 3 weeks ago, a month ago, and you could hear it in his voice. You could just, that sense that it was over then. And that
he said, Nick, if we don't turn it around on the road,
yes,
we have no chance to make the playoffs. Essentially,
what he said. Yes. Yeah.
And he also said, you know, he didn't know about further going to coach anymore. So this was the ultimate lame duck. One-year deal, your replacement with you on the
right
bench.
Right there.
Right on the bench with you.
That one I've never heard of before.
Like, no, I mean, that is a new
Mark
one.
Crawford's an associate coach.
We had Claude Ruel. We had Claude Ruel on the bench with Scotty Bowman in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, come on.
They have a good team. They have a good team.
This is a team that was supposed to have a chance to win the cup,
but they're like Tampa right now. You're not getting any goaltending. You're not going anywhere.
You cannot give up a
bad goal and a half a game.
You can look anywhere you want. The top guys, Doug Armstrong talked to us about it the other day on the show. Look at the top. I listed the top four guys, but the point production, their plus minus, they weren't producing, and the goaltending. Those are the two issues.
Gord Stellick, Nick Kyrgios, Doug McLean, Hockey Central at noon. We just talked about Ken Hitchcock out. Mike Yeo now in, moving up from associate coach to head coach. Their next opponent, talk about them, the Toronto Maple Leafs. I was saying 2 years ago, Peter Horacek had that grueling road trip, and the St. Louis Blues beat him 3-0. They lost, all four games on the road. Now they get to face the St. Louis Blues team, fresh off firing a coach that way. We talked to Jim Neal yesterday, and, you know, a game I don't know, unusual. What, Dallas hadn't scored 5 goals in the first period since 1998. Leafs hadn't given up 5 goals in 7 years.
Kind of refreshing for Leaf fans to hear that last night's game was unusual for you.
Yeah, well, instead of the norm.
For 10
that's
years,
right.
It was the norm.
What happens?
But in all honesty, is that not really the kind of defense that you envisioned at the beginning of the season, having so much trouble, and yet it never really materialized for 47 games? Listen, it was a bad game. Jake Gardner was horrific, and there's a lot of guys right behind him that just did not show up. I you got to give this team the benefit of the doubt in saying that you just got to shrug it off. I mean, you're gonna take notice of having a better start, but outside of that, when it gets bad, and we Colby Armstrong talked about this as experiencing it as a player, is that there's some nights when the harder you try, the worse it gets. I think that was the case last night, and they've had a really, really good start to this season. The first half, you just shrug it off and you try to go into St. Louis and get off to that better start.
And you knew that Dallas were going to be ready. They're getting healthy. They're desperate. This gets Dallas back in the race, actually, with that win last night. All of a sudden, Dallas now are 1 point out of the playoffs. That was a big, big game.
And it was
their
third and fourth lines
right,
that were doing the damage
so,
early on.
You know, the Leafs say they're you're coming off the All-Star break. A lot of guys in that team have never experienced having a break like that, the hoopla, the excitement, and then you go on the road,
and
your
then
first
there's
game.
Also that small window.
They weren't ready, maybe.
There's also
obviously
that small window where you sit back and you reflect and you start listening to and reading different things. And it's as if over the All-Star weekend that you, as a player, you see this bar being raised. And all of a sudden it's like, wow, it's not like Leaf fans are talking about hoping to make the playoffs. It's like they can make the playoffs. That's a big difference here. They're young. Yeah. They're going to have to deal with that new bar being raised. I think last night probably was an example for the team not to get too full of yourself, because hockey's got this wonderful way of bringing you back to earth a little bit. Maybe that's what happened last night as well.
Let's get the positive news on February the 1st. You have a bad loss. So here are the Toronto Maple Leafs. William Nylander, NHL Rookie of the Month in October. Auston Matthews, NHL Rookie of the Month in December. Just announced Mitch Marner, Rookie of the Month for January, beating out Sebastian Aho, Anthony Mantha, Patrick Laine as well. So three different Rookie of the Months in the first 4 months. And last night, the one little snippet in the second period, okay? I know they were out of it, but putting Marner and Matthews together, if you're looking for a little bit of entertainment, and they seem to bring it every game, that gave you about a good 15 minutes.
Did it ever?
Well, and we've covered enough Stanley Cups, me and you, with the Chicago Blackhawks, when at times Joel Quenneville was struggling, and you started right off the bat with, you get Kane and Taves together. Yeah. And there's going to be scenarios mm-hmm. where it's the same thing for Babcock, that if you're down a goal or you've gone a couple of games where you've been snake bitten, it's a natural progression. And I think Babcock fights it off a little bit because he thinks that both these guys want the puck, command the puck. I just think Marner's so smart that he'll adjust and still find a way to make it work.
You said it driving home last night. You said, Marner could have had 5 points.
You guys tried.
He could have 5 points.
And again, the beauty of the Leafs now is that you can be down 2 or 3 goals and you're sitting there going,
if they get the next one, they could win it.
How can they be out of it with that guy?
That's the first time that's the first time this period, this year, you got to experience it, being down that much and saying, you know what?
It's not over.
Yeah. You drive Doug home?
I do drive Doug home. Yes. Yes.
That's really nice.
You know what? It's,
I lost my token for the subway last night at midnight, and I didn't have a token.
Do you try to like hide? Does he hide, stand by the door? Do you ever try to accidentally bail on him?
It's part of the Big Brother program that I'm involved with.
It's called the Senior Citizen Program, not the Big Brother.
I also have to take him to the park on Saturdays.
Oh, I checked my phone. Okay.
I lost my token last night, so he bailed me out.
Got a message from Matt Brown. Okay. He got Leafs. The first team, you said first time, but first team.
Why are you
to
texting
ever have
him?
Three different Rookie of the Month honorees, Marner, Matthews, and Nylander. So just
that's never stopped
about.
You before for Darren Millard. You interrupt us all the time. Why Gore gets a text now?
And here it says, don't be unnerved that Kipper will question why I text you. Okay, so we got it. There we go. No problem. I am not unnerved. So first in NHL history of three different NHL rookies of the month. That's
pretty cool.
Pretty impressive.
Yeah, it is very impressive. Very impressive.
We take a break. Are you going to take Doug out for a walk for 8 minutes or anything? We're all good.
You drive me home for lunch today.
Mike Matheson, another guy, talk about a top rookie, is going to join us next when we return. Gord Stellick.
I got to ask him if he can get me tickets in Florida because I lost my source for tickets in
Doug
Florida.
Doug McClain, Hockey Central at noon, listening on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, watching on Sportsnet and on the NHL Network in the United States.
A podcast that casts a wide net across the internet of sports. The Andrew Walker Show. Subscribe in iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. On demand. Now, more Hockey Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Welcome back. Hockey Central at noon. Gord Stellick in for Darren Millard, Nick Kyprios, Doug McClain. You're listening on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, watching on Sportsnet and the NHL Network in the United States. Mike Matheson of the Florida Panthers will join us momentarily. And one last piece, as we chatted earlier with Kelly Chase. So Jim Corsi, also relieved of his duties as a goaltending instructor in St. Louis. And of all people, Marty Brodeur will be the combination assistant general manager and on ice trying to settle their goaltending woes.
How was the Blues Corsi? Do we know him?
the Corsi beyond the actual, the actual guy Corsi, not too good today.
No.
Their actual Corsi numbers.
It's too bad. Jim's a good man, and he's been a lifer in the goaltending business. He's been around forever.
Well, they're like pitching coaches, like the top dozen of them. They always end up somewhere for very good reason. So,
you know what, a guy, yeah, except like it's funny, we had Rick Walmsley on our show here recently. Rick Walmsley, who's been a great goaltending coach and done great jobs with a ton of guys. I mean, look what he did with Hammond. Look what he did with Anderson over his career. He's on the market. I'd love to see a guy like Rick get a job.
See what Marty can do with the goaltending.
But he's assistant GM too, so it's doubling up.
He'll be
more
involved
up.
Now. Yeah, and I don't know, sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't work necessarily when you're dealing with
where it works.
Some of the greatest players in their positions.
But you know where it works, Nick, with a guy like Marty and a guy like Jake Allen? It's Marty Marty, and I may be wrong on this, but I would put dollars to donuts that Marty will not worry about Jake Allen's technical side of his game. I think Marty will work on his confidence head. And his head.
Yeah.
And that's where Marty can be invaluable, in my opinion. Who? Ty Conklin.
Ty
so,
Conklin.
I mean, you know, so they've got a good.
Yeah,
got
that's,
a, good
a, that's
there.
A really good point.
But Marty could help a guy like Jake. That And you know, you're Jake Allen. Marty Brodeur's on the ice with you.
Yeah, that's
pretty good.
I remember one of the early goaltending coaches, as far as a veteran guy, Glenn Hall. I think he was doing it in Calgary. I'm not sure.
Yes.
And he just plain said, my best thing is to have a beer with the guy.
Yeah.
You know, kind of thing. And if I'm not a technical guy, but that's as good, that can be as good as the other
have
part.
Have you noticed that now a lot of teams have two goalie coaches?
The beer guy?
You got the beer guy and the technical guy. I want a job as the beer guy.
You also said on many occasions Wammer was the buffet guy, too.
Well, Wammer liked to eat.
Yes.
But that's okay. Well, especially after losses, he ate a lot.
No.
He's great.
Did he ever win a game?
But I'll tell you what. He knows the game. He knows goaltending inside out, and you'd love to see him get an opportunity.
Sure, he's not going to use his tape as his resume, but we certainly...
We got a beer guy. We got a...
Well, last night, funny thing, we had 14 games. It was not a goaltender's night. There were no shutouts. Every game ended in regulation time. There were no overtime games. Every game averaged 7 goals per game, which is about 2 more than average. So we had Winnipeg beating St. Louis, the last game Ken Hitchcock coached. We talked about the Dallas win. We'll talk to Mike Matheson a few moments later about the Florida team.
Don't bring up the crowd in the building last night.
We'll not.
I'm not allowed to bring that up because they get mad at me in Florida when I bring up their attendance.
Well, it's not a great question for a player to have thrown at them either, whatever, so we'll leave it.
How are ticket sales?
How about
I
want to
know how the T-shirts, they did a T-shirt.
Why don't you Google online?
They did a T-shirt there sort of mocking me there, and I'm wondering how the sales are going.
Well, can you order one for Kipper, myself, and Matt? People get three?
I thought when I looked at the game that everybody in the stands had one of these T-shirts but it was red seats.
What what was the T-shirt again? What did it say? Something about
I'm a hockey expert.
I'm a hockey
And a picture
expert.
Of you?
And no, it's for their... One of their minority owners, 5% owner, did this T-shirt. I thought everybody in the stands had them on last night, but it was red seats.
But was it a shot at you, I'm a hockey expert?
I said that when he let Gerard Gallant go, now he's a hockey expert.
Okay.
So because I said that
became
that's pretty heady praise, then, right?
Yeah,
if you're saying it.
He wanted to have a T-shirt. Okay. Now, I'd be really showing that he's a hockey expert. And they sold it for charities, and I hope it sells great.
Could they get Kevin Spacey to wear one, though?
No.
That's when you know.
But
that
I certainly
really
do hope they sell well because apparently it's going to charity. So hopefully it works.
Quick one before Mike
them.
Matheson. What about the other Florida team, the Tampa Bay Lightning?
Wow.
The one that was expected to be having no problem and lose to Boston last night.
Well. If you're John Cooper after that game or Steve Yzerman, you're like just absolutely shaking your head because this is Tampa and Boston both aren't going to make the playoffs. Maybe both of them won't make the playoffs, but there's a chance one of the two will. And you lose at home to the Boston Bruins, who had won 2 in a row but had been struggling. And that is a devastating loss. And I know Stamkos is not there, but he wasn't there a lot in other years. I don't get what's happened to the Tampa Bay Lightning. You think they're going to get it going. You think they've got so much talent there. I mean, move Steve Yzerman made this summer, people were saying it was just an amazing move. How he figured out the cap, how he got Kucherov gone. And all of a sudden, nothing has happened.
There's a long list for sure. And Stamkos, of course, not being there. But again, Bishop, like a 900 save percentage ain't making it anymore in this league. No. It is 920, 915, 920. You don't have a Bishop at the top of his game, an Allen. Look what Anderson's been able to do with the Leafs. Winnipeg's battled their goaltending situation. They're still in it. Like you look at that team and you go, if they get any goaltending down the stretch with that firepower right now, that... What is there not to like about the Winnipeg Jets other than...
If they get goaltending.
If they get goaltending.
But why is Boston hanging around?
Tuukka
Rask.
Right.
So, you know, that's... And look, why did Head... Like, why is Ken Hitchcock unemployed today? Let's not kid ourselves. The Stars a little bit, goaltending a lot. shots. And I happen to like Jake Allen, and I think he's got a chance to be a good goalie. Wow. So it's just that critical to the job.
Devin Dubnyk in Minnesota? They look like rock stars now. Wild.
Frederick Anderson with the Toronto Maple Leafs. Like, come on, boys. We don't have to go any further than there. I know the kids have been terrific. I know they got rookie of the months, but come on.
Hey, it's worth reiterating.
Gord's on 2 hours of sleep, not
you. No, he's not. He's not on 2 hours.
You should have known I said Anderson.
He is on till the last Leaf fan
has
goes to sleep.
Yeah, that's right.
And then the show's over.
I don't. Why would your post-game show go till 6 a.m.? I don't get it.
Because people will phone in when they're up for their shift work. They want to phone in and talk.
Janitor Bob on the line.
We do great in pledges. We just can't collect them. That's it. There's an insatiable appetite to talk hockey.
Thank God.
For 8 hours.
Fortunately. Well, another place like that, Hockey Hotbeds in Minnesota, Edmonton. And you mentioned it, but he puts the other goalie in last night in Edmonton. And right now, nothing can go wrong for Bruce Boudreau. And he hopes, which coach were we talking earlier about? Just like a lot of them. They got to have success in the playoffs still. Otherwise, it'll change. But right now, he can't do anything wrong, even mixing up his goaltenders.
Ken Hitchcock, since the day he got hired in St. Louis, had the most wins of any coach in that time period. Bruce Boudreau wins through the roof. But Bruce Boudreau, it will always come back to what the Minnesota Wild do at playoff time. He's done a marvelous job there this year. The players have bought in. They like him. Chuck Fletcher brought in Staal. It's worked out well.
And you know.
But it's all about the playoffs there.
There's going to be that first round where you're facing a good team and you're knocking out two or three teams in the first round that you could have easily seen going to a conference final, right?
And just think
about
this.
That's the challenge for Minnesota. They're going to be up against it in the first round.
New York Rangers lose last night. If they won last night, they would have been within 3 points of Columbus and battling for a better playoff positioning. If the playoffs started last night, the New York Rangers play the Montreal Canadiens in the first round. Who are you picking to win that series?
Price over Lundqvist.
So the question is, you get Minnesota, and who are they going to play in the first round? It's going to be a heck of a team, and it could go either way. And it's going to come down to who gets the best goaltending. Is Dubnyk going to do it in the playoffs? And, you know, who do they play? It's unbelievable how tough it can be in that first round. We see it every year.
Yeah, and Bruce has an interesting perspective. I'm sure he really appreciates it on a day when he's winning a ton. But he said in the playoffs, I forget the game seven number, but he just said his teams have had bad game sevens. Like when the Penguins won it the first time, their bad game was game five. Yeah. So if you have a clunker, don't have it in game number seven, unfortunately, because that's what people remember. And that's happened a couple of times along the way for him.
All I know is how tough it is to win in the regular season when you've got an 82-game schedule as an NHL coach. It's unbelievably hard to win in the regular season. But I'll tell you what, it's even tougher to win at playoff time.
And look at the Islanders right now, right? Horrible start to the season, slowly getting momentum.
What's changed
Doug
there?
Waite, they make the coaching change, and Doug Waite comes in.
They even had a shutout with Jack Capuano's last game, so it started then. But obviously Doug Waite's been the impetus for a lot of it.
We've had how many Gerard Gallant is replaced by Tom Rowe in Florida. Well, it hasn't really worked.
But what about the no-brainer of three goalies in the crease, right? I mean, you even had an agent tweeting out about it months ago that on Long Island with the Islanders, that how much, you know, Kippy, a practice with three goaltenders, year two
drives
of three goaltenders.
Drives me nuts.
Pick one, which they did, finally. Yeah. How much does that change things?
Oh, I think it stabilizes the room, no question about it.
And there's a guilt factor by the players. It's a combination of a lot of things. You know?
Greiss gets a $10 million contract when a lot of people thought that maybe he'd end up being that goaltender that solidifies a contending team's situation like San Jose. $10 million. He's a good goalie, but I think that signing had probably more to do with the ownership of the Islanders saying, we want people to stick around here. We're not going to show John Tavares that we're bailing on players. We want them to we want to show everybody that they want to stay here and play. So as much as that's for their depth in net, it's also, I think, a pretty strong message to Tavares that
now, if they can just get a rink, if they can find a rink now, it'll be really good.
I wouldn't put too much stock in that whole rink situation. There's just a bunch of money bean counters trying to renegotiate. Yeah. That's all that is.
Yeah, I agree.
Where else would they play?
Rockefeller Center. I proposed to my wife there. It'll be good enough for the Islanders.
Well, that's
an outdoor game.
No, the league loves outdoor games. Let's have somebody play the whole year there.
Could do it right from the NBC building. You know,
We could have Matt Lauer as the host. He could do the
play by play.
No, he could do the penalties and the timekeeper.
Oh, the PA announcer.
PA announcer.
Okay,
well, Andy Frost of the.
Yeah, he's Yeah, Mike Ross is the guy now. Andy Frost.
I heard Andy in Tampa recently.
You guys have any better ideas?
Well, you got to start for them. You give them some ideas to start. I guess the $53.5 million they're guaranteed each year would be something they want to recoup. Hey, some of the other games, just quick last night, because I don't know if we're going to connect with Mike Matheson or not, but we mentioned that Florida team. So of those teams, the Islanders, Florida, the teams that right now, Carolina, big win last night, that are outside,
they're all in it.
Outside looking in, is there one that you really think is going to be, and Tampa Bay's another one, will be a team that gets on a tear and will end up being the real deal? I mean, Philadelphia's there too. It's kind of a pick'em thing now, but I'm getting a sense of the New York Islanders. I just think the New York Islander juggernaut, I'm not saying winning the Stanley Cup, I think they're going to be home and cooled out pretty soon.
You think they're not going to make it?
I think they are going to make it.
Well,
I don't know about other teams.
I think when you've got a guy like Tavares, and you've got a Boychuk and a Letty and a Hamonic, and you've got
Anders Ladd must have been hurt. There was something off with Anders Ladd early on.
You know, you've got to say they're in the mix. So right now you'd say Toronto, Florida, Islanders, Carolina, Jersey with a big win last night. I mean, I'm still thinking Tampa's going to figure this out.
I don't know. I mean,
I'm still thinking Tampa's going to figure it out.
One of those young superstars kind of come out of nowhere for Carolina and Sebastian Aho? Four points last night.
I know. In fairness,
an impressive hat trick.
Yeah.
No cheapies.
And in fairness to the Florida Panthers, when you have Barkov and
Bukestad just came back yesterday. Huberto and Barkov still out. Yeah.
I don't know what their status is. There was some rumblings they may not be back. But, I mean, that's a tough road. And Luongo, I mean, he gets a big win last night. I mean, that was a funny. Ottawa up 4-2 and let that one slip away. You know, give Florida credit for battling back and getting the win, you know. But who knows? I mean, Carolina is looking pretty good, and they had lost five in a row.
So what's the deal with Matheson? Did he just, like, I know, still on the ice. See, Gord, I know this stuff on your satellite radio show. It happens all the time. Guys bail.
Yeah,
but we're not used to that
here. I know.
That does not happen on Hockey Central at noon.
I thought maybe they asked him to go out and sell tickets. I don't know.
Maybe they heard Doug.
I think there's a reflection on you, Gord.
Yeah, imagine the player phoning in and listening. Oh, here's Doug talking about the Florida Panthers right now.
He was getting one of those T-shirts. I'm a hockey expert to come on the show.
Talk about rookies. He's another rookie. Matt Murray's a rookie.
He was a first round pick out of Boston College. Two goals last night.
Yep. Two goals in their win.
He's a good player.
Quick one as well. I think you got to know Kip. I know Kippy got to know him. It ends up being a nice story for Roberto Luongo last night, but James Reimer's supposed to get the start. Him and his wife, April, baby girl yesterday, daughter. So for the very best of reasons. And that's a guy you love seeing doing well. That's a guy when you think when things weren't going so well in Toronto, a stand up guy on and off the ice.
And signed in a great contract. It's a great situation for him there. He'll find ways to get them points, meaningful points down the stretch, I think.
So, it was congratulations to April and...
You going
to
get him anything? James.
You know how I remember her name, April, all the time?
How?
Should we find out the where month? She's registered, the baby's
That's
registered?
My birthday is in April, I'll never forget that name.
What do we get them for a gift?
I don't think you're registered.
Candlesticks make a good gift.
For a wedding gift down the road somewhere. Right. Or maybe for Doug's birthday. When you're driving him home, stop by at Tiffany's and take a look.
I hate to say this again, but I'll get him one of those T-shirts.
No, you don't hate to say it again. You love to say
Can
it again.
Can someone in Florida send Doug a T-shirt?
Please.
He really wants
Actually,
one.
Send four of them.
He
we will
really
get our sizes.
One.
Doug, you're on the air tonight. You're three games to cover.
Yes, Wednesday night, Scotiabank Wednesday night hockey. And we're very excited
go
about
home
it. Great
and
match
get some
up.
Rest.
I'm going to watch Doug tonight. Are you going to do the same
no,
thing?
No, you're going to bed early.
Oh, okay.
Terrific. You need some sleep.
If I have to physically come over and
you
tuck you in,
home?
I'll do it.
Is your car big enough for Doug and myself to drive you home?
And don't take any calls tonight.
Okay. I want to say thanks to Kelly Chase for joining us earlier. Gord Stelnick, Nick Kyprios, Doug McLean. You've been listening to Hockey Central at noon on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
I got to drive home.
On Sportsnet and watching on the NHL Network in the United States. Car, please, Mr. McLean.